win in life. And we get hot for Jesus. He's not coming back for a cold church. He's not coming back for a warm church. He's come back for a hot church. And you know what? He made us cleansed. He made us pure. He made us acceptable. He made the way for us to be the bride. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand. And my scripture is going to be Psalms 35:27. And it says, God wants his servant to be at peace. He wants his servant to prosper. Here's the scripture. It says, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad. And says, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Isn't that good? And you know what? If he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, how much more his family? How much more his kids? Right? Amen. And so what do we do? We believe him. We believe him and we act on it. We sow seeds and we speak it into existence. When we're a voice crying in the wilderness, that's preparing the way for the Lord to work. By saying it, and you're preparing that way, and then you sow seed, and then the enemy, and then God does his part because we've done ours. You know, we have what it is we look at a promise and then we respond. How are we going to respond? We're going to either respond in faith or we just ignore it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep going in faith. Praise God. Amen. That's so good. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that it gives you pleasure to prosper us. It gives you pleasure. And not only that, but Lord, you have pleasure in our faith. That's what pleases you, is our faith, which is believing you and trusting you and relying on you. And so, Lord, you promise, Lord, that when we bring our tithes and offerings to you, you open up the windows of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. And then you rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground. And all the nations would call us blessed. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that when we give, it'll be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men bring into our bosom. You said that when we sow a seed, we can believe for 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, as much as we can believe. Some are believing for the billion-fold. And so, Lord, I'm agreeing with everyone. For whatever it is that they need will be abundantly supplied. And not only that, but Lord, I speak the blessing over each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen. 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 I didn't bring my calendar. Could you take that up, please? It's back there. Okay. Well, he's going to get the calendar. And I also have a sign-up sheet because on Memorial Day we're having our annual church picnic. We're going to have catfish. So we need you to sign up if you want catfish so we know how much catfish to order. And so that'll be in the foyer. And then he's going to bring the rest of the calendar. Thank you. Yeah, I told him about the sign-up sheet. And then on the 18th of this month, we're going to be evangelizing again. And then the 20th, we're going to have our healing teaching school. And sometime in June, we're going to have our Bible camp. We just hadn't decided on the date. But the theme is going to be superheroes. So we're starting to gear up for that. Anything else? All right. We're ready to hear from Pastor. Yeah, they're believing for. Yeah, Cutter and Cooter, we're praying for them. Let's pray now. Well, Father God, we just come together. You said when two or more agree on touching anything, you will perform it. So we're in agreement for them to be fever-free. We speak to that fever and we say, you bow your knee to the name of Jesus and you leave their bodies now. And we just send your word like a servant to bring healing to their bodies right now, just like that centurion, in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about be faithful or being faithful. Amen. Like we finish up from what we started on Sunday morning. Faithful means to be trusted or reliable. To be trusted or reliable. And, you know, we talked about the word there, how Jesus and his word is reliable and it's trusted. We can put our trust and faith in it. That's what his faith is. Example was a marriage covenant, or, you know, the same thing as the covenant with Jesus Christ through blood. That's where all these blood sacrifices, or as far as these covenants come from, through the Bible, you know, like it started at the beginning, you know, even when Adam sinned and God shed the blood of an animal for him to have clothing, you know, started way back then. And then the greatest one was through Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice and one time, and now we have salvation, hallelujah. And I think of, you know, we're supposed to be faithful as because Jesus is faithful and the word's faithful if you trust it. I look at Joseph's life, you know, a man that heard from his daddy, talked to his daddy, Israel, or Jacob, and heard about God, and Father Abraham, and his grandpa Isaac, and how they trusted God, and seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And, you know, we're talking about a person that, because he trusted God and believed in God, they were imputed righteousness to them. They got because of faith. Now, they did not receive the Holy Spirit like this New Testament we have. It's even better what we have. We got this good word of God that goes with us everywhere. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Makes it so much easier to be faithful. Praise God. I mean, we're on the world's a little different than it was then. You know, more things to occupy your time or get you distracted. But most of them were, he was a sheep, worked the sheep. And what did he go through? What did he, I mean, just think. Sold into slavery by his own brothers. Just what was his mind thinking? That's what I kept looking at. What was he thinking? It had to be tough. It had to been tough. I mean, to stay faithful, to remember what his father used to tell him, the stories in his grandpa Isaac, the stories about God and how you could trust God, and the hundredfold return on that wheat when Isaac, in a famine, Isaac sowed and seen a great harvest whenever all the Philistines' crops were being, you know, impoverished and weren't growing, and his was doing so good. You know, he had wells wherever he went. God made sure there's water. Praise God. It was amazing. And then he thought, about the time he thinks he's going so good, being faithful, he's working for Potiphar and everything's going so great. And, you know, his mind, you know, bringing him joy, you know. He wants to be back with his dad and his, you know, I don't know if he wants to be back with them 10 brothers or not after they sold him into slavery, but he wanted to be back with his dad because he missed his dad. Then he got betrayed by the Potiphar's wife that tried to say he had sex with her, and he didn't. She was the one trying to get after him. And then what did he end up? Prison. No place lower than you could really go that I know of than be a slave and in prison. Looks impossible. Looks impossible. And he rose to the top there. And, you know, instead of just giving up in despair, you know, and you know, what was he thinking? He had to be thinking on that covenant and that faithfulness of God. He had to be thinking on God's faithfulness in order to just keep going through what he was going through. And not just saying, I give up on you, God, I'm mad at you, and I don't want to, and I'm done, you know. But he might have felt that way a few times. I'm not saying he didn't, but that's natural. Responses to something, you know, it can happen to anybody. And we're, like I said, we're got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He didn't even have that. But he didn't give up. He rose to the top. Next thing you know, he's the in charge of the whole jail, over everyone in there. And as usual, doing an upstanding job. Upstanding. He's just a good man, you know, loves God and loves his family, and desire to get back home. And then you know the story about the butler and the baker, how they betrayed the Pharaoh and got in trouble, thrown in there, and the dreams where one had the one dream and the other one, he interpreted them both, and then the one got hung, and the butler who was brought the cup to the Pharaoh. He got to keep his job, but he forgot about Joseph. Joseph probably, I'm just thinking, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but Joseph probably had a big old beard down in there, and because he's stuck in that prison, and he's in his 20s somewhere in there. This all started when he was a younger man. By the time he's in his 20s, and he's like, tell the Pharaoh about, you know, I'm stuck down in here. You know, you tell someone, need to get me out of this place. He's looking for a way out. And finally, the dreams come to Pharaoh of the good crops and the good cows, and the bad crops and the bad cows that eat the good stuff. And no one can interpret that dream, not even astrologers or the magicians of those days. And that's when the butler, or the baker, no, the butler. The butler's the one's close to him that brings his cupbearer. Tells him about the Hebrew, young Hebrew man, probably in his 20s down there. So they clean him up, shave him up, and he, you know, there's got to be some excitement. When you're getting right at the edge of a breakthrough like that, you know, coming up to see the Pharaoh and to come out there and see the Pharaoh and be face to face with the Pharaoh and talk with him. And the Pharaoh tells him the dreams, and he tells him only this, you know, what the interpretation is and how the Spirit of God interpreted it for him. It wasn't necessarily Joseph, the Spirit of God. God spoke to him to tell him what was going on. And amazing, he had that good of a relationship with God. It's amazing to be able to hear and be quiet and be able to speak what God's telling him. And then Pharaoh says, we got to do something. So these 7 years of good, plentiful rain, plentiful everything, where them 7 years of bad, like you said, what we need to do, we need to put someone in charge. And he said, I can't think of anybody more that's eligible or than you that's got the Spirit of God speaking to that person. And that's just trusting God, his God. And he ended up, in one day, went from the prison to the second man in charge of the whole nation of Egypt. I mean, the greatest nation of the world at that time. And why? Because faithfulness. He did not give up. He did not, I mean, even I know he had to have some, you know, some flare-ups in his mind, the devil trying to depress him, discourage him, setting up scenarios in his mind, why, what's wrong, or what did he do wrong, why he's there, all those other things the devil tries to set up to get you either to quit or get mad at yourself or get mad at God. Or get mad at somebody. There's different things he tries to do. Mad at somebody, mad at self, mad at God. Or, you know, you done something wrong. Whatever. You know, the devil's always trying to set up that thing to discourage and to despair. But you know what? He was able to stay away from that and not get into that. And he just kept being faithful. You know, nowadays we got the word, and we find out over there in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it talks about take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Cast down all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Thoughts that are like that are trying the blame game and anger. If it's causing anger like that, stealing your peace, well, you know where it's coming from. You know what's coming from. So we must stay in faith. Stay faithful. And he was. It's amazing to me that he through all that, he stayed faithful. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Numbers 12. Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verse 6. I would have it up on the screen, but I used to tell my battery on my phone I didn't plug it in. I have it on my phone, these scriptures, but I used it all up. That's my fault. Numbers chapter 12, let me see here, verse 6. I think that's right after the Leviticus book. 12:6. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, made myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is what? Faithful. He is faithful in all my house. Moses, a man of God that loved God. He was faithful. He was faithful. And what amazes me is for, what is it, 40 years right around that time, he was raised as an Egyptian. As an Egyptian, why didn't God use a Hebrew person Israelite that was raised in the Hebrew. Well, I don't know why, but for some reason that's the way it happened. He was chosen to be that one or whatever. But, you know, I think what made the difference was when he found out he was Hebrew, he said, I'm going to live with the Hebrews. I am a Hebrew. And he just turned his back on the Egyptian way, which is the world's way, the Satanistic way, the way of the world. He said, nope, I'm a follow God. I'm a trust in God, the one that created all the heaven and the earth that lives in heaven. He made a change. He said, I'm not going to follow those statues and those other different false gods or things made out of rock. Why anybody would want to make that my God? Why would I want to make this my God? I mean, I can bend this. I can hit this. I can break this. Why would I want to make that my God? I don't understand that in the first place to me. You know, it seems like I'm the one in control of that. I'm greater than it is. Why would I think a rock would be my God or something carved out of that? Anyway, that's just what I never understood that in the first place. But anyway, he went from that kind of worship. I mean, those pagan gods of Egypt to following the God, the Hebrew God, his God. You know, he was that from a little baby. They found him in that little Nile River, and he was raised that way. And then he fought for his brother, seeing his brother that was being mistreated and killed that Egyptian soldier, and then ran off and ran to got in those mountains and met that girl of his, that woman of his, and ended up getting married. What was there, like 6 or 7 sisters? And they were all just flogging him, going after him. And that one, he picked the oldest one, I think it was. And he ended up marrying her. And then he had the experience on the mountain with the burning bush. And he had to go back. He was a little bit intimidated by the old Pharaoh. And, you know, his mind was racing. His mind was racing. Oh, God, you're going to have to go with me on this one. And he went back and sent him some help with Aaron, his brother. And finally he overcame that. He was, you know, Aaron was actually speaking at first, you know, and then finally he overcame that speech impediment or whatever his problem of not wanting to speak in front of Pharaoh. And he started telling Pharaoh what God is going to bring or what God's doing. And he overcame that, and he was faithful. And they came out, praise God. They came out just like that. We just celebrated the Passover not too long ago. And praise God. And got to the Red Sea and split the sea, God did. They came across, another great miracle, being faithful. God being faithful and God's servant being faithful, or his family, should I say, being faithful. And even having to deal with those 2 million people out in that wilderness, making a calf. Aaron sure got his butt whooped for that. You know, even listening to those people making that calf, what was he thinking? I'd say, no, thank you. Don't be breaking your rings off or nothing else, gold stuff to make no calf. I don't want no part of that. Anyway, he got his life spared out of that, thank God. But through it all, you know, Moses stayed faithful. He even messed up. Would you believe Moses even messed up? God uses people that are not perfect. I mean, that one time he struck that old, they were crying for water, and God was going to take care of them for water. They were squalling and bawling about their water, and they got to a place that was bitter. So God told him to, I believe, strike the rock once or whatever. Anyway, he'd done it twice, or either he was supposed to speak to it. And he'd done it, struck it twice. And the water came, but, you know, he disobeyed God, and he never got to go see the promised land of, like Joshua did over there in Jericho and through all that Canaan in the land. But he stayed faithful. So he wasn't perfect, but yet he stayed faithful. I mean, what are we going to be? Are we going to fight the good fight of faith, no matter what it looks like? Or are we going to look at the situation and go by our feelings and give up or just get angry or whatever? No, we can't do that. No, that's not our, that's not, shouldn't even be a choice. That ought to be out there. And that's always stay faithful. You know, we got to look, we've already won. We know where we're going. We're going to go to heaven. We're following, we know the end of the book, how it ends, praise God. Now just stay faithful. Let's look over 1 Timothy. We just continue to stay in faith and be faithful. Thank God, God doesn't give up on us. He's always faithful. He'll never deny us. As long as we don't deny him, he won't deny us, he said. As long as we, 1 Timothy chapter 6. As long as we do not deny him, he won't deny us. He's always faithful. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay Hold on for a minute. Fight the good fight of faith. That means we're going to have to fight, right? That means we're going to have to use our faith, right? So we're going to have to be strong in faith. And this is one time right here. I mean, okay, I'll kick out another. And we'll stop right there. Another illustration. And that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That just come to me. I didn't even have it down. But you're talking about having to fight the good fight of faith and stay strong in a time of death, in the face of death. And maybe they had the first five books of the Bible. You know, Moses, God had Moses write the Genesis through Deuteronomy. I hope they had that to study. You know, they've been drugged off over to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's the one that built that 50 or 100 foot statue, that golden statue, and they were supposed to bow down to it when the music goes on. But they stayed faithful in the time of adversity, when it all, I mean, looks like, you know, they were willing to die for God, for what they believed in. Willing to die for what they believed in. Hallelujah. And that's amazing. You know, but they didn't have to die. If you don't compromise, you don't have to burn. They didn't compromise. They didn't burn. Who knows? They might have compromised on Nebuchadnezzar, might have got mad at him anyway and burned him anyway. But when he seen that the fire wouldn't lick him up and burn him, and couldn't kill him, there couldn't be death put on him by fire. Well, he wasn't about to touch him because your God's greater than anything else. Anybody says anything bad about the Hebrew God, you're going to get killed, your whole family, because they're talking bad about the Hebrew God. So, you know, they made a difference, and they didn't compromise, hallelujah. So we must not compromise. But they fought the fight, faith. They fought with faith, fought with faith. So it says there in verse 12, we fight with a good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which we were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hallelujah. And a good fight of faith is one that we've already won. They knew they won no matter what. We know we win no matter what, because big brother Jesus has already beat the devil and put him under our feet. All we got to do is make our stand. You know what? Quitting, huh? Amen. Quitting takes no effect. I mean, no effort, excuse me. Quitting takes no effort. None. It just sits there and doesn't do nothing. It takes no effort. In fact, you know, if you quit, it'll just start pushing you backwards, and you start going backwards. But fighting the devil with your faith takes time and diligence. Time and diligence in the Word, reading the Word, confessing the Word, praise and worship like we did, coming to church like we're doing, all these things, evangelizing and what all the things that we're doing. It takes time and diligence, and not only you see a reward here. I mean, as far as people get saved and different things that happen in your life, and God takes care of you, but also when we get to heaven, the Bible clearly states that you're going to get a reward. It says over in Corinthians, your crown that cannot be burnt with fire. They will be tested, and if you're done what any of us done is hay and wood, it'll be burned up, but yet you'll be saved. I don't want my good works for Jesus, looking like Jesus, to be burned up like hay or wood. I want it to be a crown and be right there with Jesus and be able to go in that 1,000-year reign with him and be ready to lead with him wherever he tells me to go and work with him, praise God. Now, a few of the ones that went before us here, and some of them are still alive, but here's one, Billy Graham. I mean, what is he, 98 now? Still going. His son Franklin's running the ministry. But Billy stayed faithful all these years, Mr. Graham did, and never give up, you know. Some people made fun of him for the Bible. He was the color of his Bible and things. You know, what, he have a red one? I think a red one, and they got mad because it wasn't a black Bible. I mean, people are touchy about some weird things. Still had the Word of God in there. And then now finally, people are not so touchy about the different translations of the Bible as much. They used to be, well, King James or nothing. And they get mad. They think you wouldn't even saved if you didn't have only a King James. And I mean, I have one at home and I read it. But, yeah, I understand it by the Spirit of God. I'm able to read it. But I don't speak that Queen Elizabeth 1500th century English, and thus and thou and whatever, that kind of like stuff like that, Macbeth stuff or whatever, the Shakespeare stuff. You know, it's different now. The same context, it's the same thought of God in the Word, Now, this is still the thought that God portrayed and had the person write down that by the Spirit of God. It's still given the same thought. It just it's not the old English. Old Roberts. Man, he went through, had one son that committed suicide, he went through so much. Ridiculed left and right. And never give up on the vision. Never quit on the vision. Had ORU. God built that wonderful college through that ministry, and seen what I think was it 35 million people were saved through his ministry alone. That's a lot of people, and no countless healings. I'm talking about some major healings, you know, like cancer falling off. You could actually see the boils and on people's faces, and the cancer coming off of them when he prayed for them and things like that. It was in their hand; it just came off. And it's just amazing what happened. Miracles of God. Little tent anointing. That old tent anointing. The power of God flowing. Being faithful. Being faithful through it all. Jerry Savelle, he's one that's still alive. And he's going good up there in Crawley, Texas. He has a church, Heritage of Faith. And still preaching the word. Just loving Jesus. And got his, his motorcycle ministry of Chariots of Fire. And being a blessing to the people. Lots of people have been saved through that. Let me say this before we close here. If it's important enough to start, then it's important enough to finish. That's a good quote. If it's important enough to start, then it's important enough to finish. Hallelujah. Even if it takes your whole life, whether it be your wife, husband, kids, family, career, a business, and above all, Jesus, above all, whatever it is, finish. Finish. And I think of a time I was in the hospital in 2013, and I come out and seen that on my stomach, and I was like, I was just choked up and made me cry and everything. Like, oh no, that was really hard on me. And because I prayed and believed that they'd be able to fix it and everything, and like, what am I gonna do? And then Monica and I started praying, and she was doing most of the praying because I was discouraged there quite a little bit there in December of 2013 when we were still down in the hospital, TMC, TMF, Trinity Mother Francis. And and then she was talking to God, and God said, I'm not a halfway God. If he'll use his faith and trust me and believe me, I'll see him to the other side and get this reversed and taken care of. And then a lot of it was on all them drugs, that morphine. I got one time I had that dream. I was up there up here at this hospital, and they had me on them drugs, and I had that dream. It was really dark, and I had a brick in my hand. I was beating somebody in the head with that brick. It was bad for them drugs when you're in the hospital. They mess up your mind. And I was telling that story at work this week because my boss man just had his appendix took out at TRMC. He's been up there this week, and he finally got released today. So I went up there and visited him yesterday and everything. He even visited me when I was up there in that November of 2013. And so I okay. So we went back, and Pastor Terry prayed for me when he was down there, and Chuck King, the elder at Family Life, that my body would be free from cancer because that doctor, whatever his name was, you know, come back to results and all that about cancer. And they done one more colonoscopy and took tissue out of my behind there and everything. And it come back negative up in there. No cancer, thank God. The cancer was gone. Thank God for prayer. Because they had the test before, and I was glad to be free from that. And then I had to put my faith and get strong and to keep going back to church and get the church going. And looked towards getting this reversed and got the right doctor, Randy Krim, there in Dallas. And sure enough, the day came and everything worked out perfect. Faith in God and turned it all around and being faithful to him, trusting him and his word. And it turned my life around as far as getting that off me, because that thing there was a pain in the rear, carrying that bag with me everywhere and having that thing hanging off your side. I feel for anybody that has that in their life. I mean, and I don't know of too many people that's ever had them reversed. I've ran into it. I mean, I thank you, Jesus, for get it reversed, because, you know, most of them I know that had it, they still have that thing in their, on their side. And I would Man, it's terrible. One last verse and we'll close it down. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Hold on, excuse me. Go up to 3, because this is one of my confessions. I'm doing these every day. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Ooh, that's so good. That is so good. Do you know you can dwell in this land and feed on God's faithfulness? The Bible says it so. The Bible says it so. If the Bible says it, it's true. So we're doing our part, trusting and doing good, doing what we're supposed to, and we're dwelling on the land and we're feeding on his faithfulness. That's why I'm faithful, because his faithfulness. I delight myself in the Lord, and he gives me the desires of my heart. I commit my ways to the Lord. I trust in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. If I do what's right and I continue to do what's right and not grow weary in doing good, I shall reap that harvest, praise God. I shall reap the harvest, whatever I'm believing for, praise God, because he's faithful, and we just got to be faithful to him, praise the Lord. All right. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this word of faithfulness. We thank you above all for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to us and your word. You give us your word so we could be faithful and understand how to be faithful. And we get the power from you to be faithful, Lord. We thank you for that. Just that's a virtue of the 9 spiritual fruits, to be have faith and be faithful, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, just help us to stay strong in you, not to compromise, not to give up, not to quit for everyone here. The church body, Lord, and Lord, that we'll just continue to press into you, Jesus, and your word, and what we need to do, Lord, to stay faithful. And Lord, we thank you for never giving up on us, in Jesus' name. Now, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice on listening to these CDs, or you're on voiceofbelieverschurch.org, and you hear this message, say, whew, I need some stability in my life. I need this faithfulness in my life. And where I can be faithful, and where my life just ain't going all different ways. I feel like I'm one of them pinballs in a pinball machine, just bouncing off everything. And you say, I want this Jesus. And that's where it all starts, is a relationship, fellowship, and with the Savior Jesus. And over there in Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells you how to do that. And that's to believe in him, that he died on the cross for your sins and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and ask him in. And the Bible also says over there in Luke 11, 13, you can ask him to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. And that's what you need. You need to sell out to him. And if that's what you want, all you got to do is pray this prayer after me and ask him in, or just pray it along with me. Jesus, your word says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if I believe in my heart, that Jesus died on the cross and was raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and I ask you in, I shall be saved. So I believe I'm saved. As I ask you in and I believe, Lord, show me your will for my life. Lord, just fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Lord, just, I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Show me where I need to go to church in my local area. And the one that's filled with the word of faith and loving people. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you can get on voiceofbelieverschurch.org. Whether you listen to it off the CD or if you happen to hear it on voiceofbelieverschurch.org, both of you can go over to voiceofbelieverschurch.org and push on the prayer, click on the prayer link, and tell us about it. We'll be praying for you, but remember, just get, find your local church and tell other people about your salvation. Hallelujah. And let it be known, because it's powerful when you let it be known like that, that you came to Jesus like that. Now, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone here and everyone listening. Lord, we're the head, not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrower. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he has to flee from us seven, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit's greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We give and it should be given us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall mean given our bosom. Same measure we meet with us, be measured us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper in all things, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall on one side, 10,000 right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life he satisfies. Thank you, Lord, for a long, healthy, blessed life. We take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, compromise, or just heaviness, or depression, discouragement, or anger, or any of those things that are takes your peace. We say, you get out of our mind and go in Jesus' name. We plead blood of Jesus over our mind. We thank you, Lord, for you give us a good, sound mind, Lord. A good mind. Your mind, we have the very mind of Christ. Now, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We go out of here to the outside, out here in the world, to bring Jesus to the people. Lord, we pray we have encounters with people that don't know you, Jesus, that we can tell them how to get saved and about the good news and the love of Jesus. And those that do know you, that we can share our faith and our testimonies, what he's done for us in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.